The president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones.
Life is all about loving God and loving others. It's the hallmark of Christians. And if you love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and if you love that other person like you're supposed to, as yourself, then you will do that. I will do that. Well, Christ said these two commandments summarize all of the Old Testament. They summarize the New Testament as well. Let me read you two verses from 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Just listen, please. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It summarizes our responsibilities in the Old Testament and summarizes all the Old Testament. It summarizes our responsibilities today in the New Testament era. That life is all about loving God with all ourself and loving others as ourself. And today, this could be about individuals who are passionate, whole-selfed pursuers of God. That everything we do is poured out as an offering of love to God, and it should be about people who demonstrate that love for God by random acts of love to all of those who are in need.
Today, Dr. Jones continues his series of messages entitled, Loving God and Loving Others, What This Life is All About. You'll find his text in Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 34. To prepare our hearts for that message, let's listen to the Sound Forth Singers with a testimony of praise.
Thank you.
Here now is the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones.
All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We'll go back to verses 34 through 40. But I do want to thank you, ask you to be on the watch for visitors on the campus and be outgoing in helping them. I went to a luncheon right after that, wasn't even thinking. We had a group of people we invited to campus right after that, and the man I sat beside, who was a chairman of the group that was visiting, had been lost on campus. He parked in one place, couldn't figure out where he was supposed to be. He said, just on his own comment, he said, I talked to a number of students. All of them were extremely friendly. All of them helped me as far as they were able to. And so it was neat to hear he's only been to the campus. This was his second time. And so it was a very big help to him. And I know the other visitors who came and interacted with students commented positively as well. So thank you for the testimony for Christ that that is. Now to focus down very quickly, what are God's biggest goals for you, for me, for the faculty, for staff, for this school year? God's biggest goals, are they your grades? Not for the sake of the grades themselves. Unless you're seeking that grade for the sake of showing wholehearted, whole-selfed love to God with all of your mind, then yes, but not by themselves. Is his biggest goal for you your social life? Not just for the sake of your own pleasure, for making you feel better about yourself and your group of friends? No. He's told us what his biggest goals for us are, but it's easy to spend our lives on things that don't matter. But life is all about loving God and loving others. It's the hallmark of Christians. Listen to this. This is a quotation from Aristides in the first century. Speaking of Christians, he said, they abstain from all impurity in the hope of the recompense that is to come in another world. As for their servants or handmaids or children, they persuade them to become Christians by the love they have for them. And when they become so, they call them without distinction brothers. They do not worship strange gods, and they walk in all humility and kindness, and falsehood is not found among them. And they love one another. When they see the stranger, they bring him to their homes and rejoice over him as a true brother. For they do not call those who are after the flesh, but those who are in the spirit and in God. And if there is among them a man that is poor and needy, and if they have not an abundance of necessities, they fast 2 or 3 days that they may supply the needy with the necessary food. It's the hallmark of Christians ever since the first century. Those who are serious about pleasing God are serious about showing love for others. It's the hallmark of Christians. And it's still, not just in the first century, it still is to be. And if the Lord is working in our hearts, it is changing us to be more so like this because it's pleasing to God. Last semester, in the spring, went to India and was amazed by what I saw there. In the Bible college there, I came back and shared some of the lessons the Lord had taught me and some of the amazing facts that they can house and feed and educate a student there on that campus for about $50 a month. One of the societies, Alpha Theta, just took that as a challenge. I know there were also individuals who took that as a challenge and asked for an address where they could send some money as an American believer. Alpha Theta raised $745, and we sent a check over to Berean Baptist Bible College and just heard back last week the name of the student, that it has underwritten this guy's education for the entire year and housing him and feeding him there at the Bible College. Now that's worth more than the $745, isn't it? Because there's a life that's changed. A guy given an opportunity to prepare for ministry who wouldn't have had it otherwise, humanly speaking. But not only his life, his future ministry has been changed because of the tools that he will get there. The souls that will be reached with salvation have been eternally changed by that investment, that show of love from the men of Alpha Theta. There will be eternal rewards as a result of that love that was shown. And more than all of that, I believe, that money given out of love for Christ received the smile of Christ on their act because they were loving a Christian brother. And Jesus is the one who enunciated what really matters. And just we will look at his second point here in Matthew 22. Look down at verse 39 and 40, please. You know the scenario when the lawyer comes to test Jesus, he asks what the greatest commandment is. Christ tells him the greatest commandment is to love the Lord his God with all his heart and soul and might.
And then Christ goes on to go beyond the question that was asked in verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What Christ does here, he is making it clear to us once again that life is all about, first of all, loving God with all of yourself. And second, it is all about loving others as yourself. And he elevates it. He ties them closely. He says these are intertwined. It's not pleasing to God to do either neither of them, to do none of the above. That's not pleasing to God. And it's not pleasing to God to separate them. They go hand in hand. And the person who is truly loving God will demonstrate this kind of love for others, loving them as himself or herself. Christ ties the two together. He says they're similar. They're like unto. The second is like unto it. It's similar. It resembles it. Because it's dealing with the same kind of agape love that gives without expectation of return. That gives in spite of what the other has done. In spite of what the other looks like. In spite of how the other treats you. They're both related in the type of love and in the importance that Christ places on them. He elevates the obligation and he explains it. Again, it's not a love that's dependent on the other. It's a love that gives simply by choice, by command. I was at a wedding this summer, and Dr. Reimers was officiating, and he described it as a love that gives what you most want, that gives away what you most want for what the other person most needs. It's that kind of self-sacrificing love that we're enjoined to here. This agape love. And to whom does it apply? Look at verse 39. The second half, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The word neighbor there is literally near or near one. It's not saying you love the person whose physical address, their location, is next to you. It means that whoever is near you at the moment. Get that? That's what Jesus is saying. So you can't excuse yourself from loving the person beside you in the seat. Whoever is near you at the moment, that is the person you, as a Christian, are obligated to love with agape love. The near one. Whoever is near at the moment, that is the one that you and I are commanded to love. Now, we'll go into this a little bit more several chapels from now. But this means your chapel seatmate, your chapel buddy, that's the person you're supposed to show love to. Your roommates. That's the person you're supposed to be showing love to. Your family. And usually those are the hardest, aren't they? The people who know us best and live most closely to us because we're just tired. And we let it all hang out with them. But those are the people we're supposed to, we're commanded to love. Your classmates and teachers, those who sit in your classes or teach your classes today, who are near you. Those are the ones who are supposed to see love demonstrated from you. The person alone in the dining common. As you head to lunch, that's the person you're supposed to be loving. The person on the sidewalk, the person that you go on a date with this weekend, that's the person you're supposed to be loving, not with a love to get, but a Christian love that gives for the best of the other. And what is the obligation? Look again, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is not a command to love yourself. That's already assumed here. It's saying, you know how to do that already. Now, since you know how to do that so well, do that to others. That's what we're supposed to be demonstrating to others. Ephesians 5:29 said, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. If you're thirsty, do you have to sit around and think, what do I do? No, you take care of it. You go get a drink. If you're cold, you put something on or you wrap yourself up in a blanket or something like that. It's reflexive. It's automatic because you cherish yourself. You take care of what you know to be your needs. And it should be just as reflexive, just as automatic. When you see a need that's near you, whether you know the person or not, you and I are supposed to love that person as ourself. Let me give just a couple examples in closing. If it's your birthday, and you were away from home, you saw this special day roll around, but your family wasn't near, you'd want to celebrate it. You'd want it still to be special in some way, wouldn't you? Heard yesterday about a student who came as a senior in high school, didn't know people here. He was actually skipping the spring break from his school in order to come because he was trying to figure out where the Lord wanted him for his college education. So skipping his spring break with his friends, he came here to visit. And on the last night of the visit, it was his birthday. His roommates that night came in without any fanfare, but they brought in a personalized cake and stuff for them to eat. A visitor that they didn't know before that week. And he said, you know what, I've never even seen those guys since I came to school. But they were demonstrating that kind of love. Like they would want to have, as they cherished themselves, they were showing that to somebody else. The guys that I mentioned who helped with financial need in another. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to show. The lonely person. If you were lonely, if you were sitting all alone at a meal, wouldn't you want somebody to show love and come up and be with you? That's the kind of way to demonstrate love to others. Or your teachers, pouring out their lives in love for you and your classmates. What would you want as a teacher in that scenario? Maybe just some encouragement once in a while. Maybe bringing a bottle of water saying, you know what, I thought maybe you could use this today. Or a note to say thank you. That's the kind of love. Or certainly the unsaved. If they're near you, you're to take the message to them. Wouldn't you, if you were still unsaved, wouldn't you want someone to love you enough to give you the water of life? You have it now. And if you love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and if you love that other person like you're supposed to, as yourself, then you will do that. I will do that. Well, Christ said these two commandments summarize all of the Old Testament. They summarize the New Testament as well. Let me read you two verses from 1 John in closing. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Just listen, please. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. It summarizes our responsibilities in the Old Testament, and summarizes all the Old Testament. It summarizes our responsibilities today in the New Testament era. That life is all about loving God as with all ourself and loving others as ourself. And today, this campus should be about individuals who are passionate, whole-selfed pursuers of God. That everything we do is poured out as an offering of love to God, and it should be about people who demonstrate that love for God by random acts of love to all of those who are near. Father, we ask that this would be true in our hearts and lives today. We pray that you would get our attention off of ourselves. We know how to care for ourselves because that's what we spend our days doing, Lord, and it's worthless. But with that same kind of love and preservation and care, we pray that you would help us as we see needs today to give, to love, as we would want to be loved. The situation will be reversed. And we ask that you would take this as an offering of love on this campus today. Love for you and love for each other. In Christ's name, amen.
May each of us who name the name of Christ be people who are pouring ourselves out as an offering to God by demonstrating God's love to others. Today's message was preached by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones. If you enjoyed today's message, you'll be equally blessed by other powerful teaching messages available from Bob Jones University. To receive a free catalog containing hundreds of selected sermons spanning over 75 years of biblical fundamentalism, call us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Again, that's 1-866-BJU-RADIO, or visit our website at bjuradio.com. And while you're there, the BJU Radio website has information about other helpful resources for you and your family. Or you can write us at BJ Radio, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Before we bring today's program to a close, let me encourage you to use the talents God has given you to fulfill God's plan for your life. Bob Jones University offers over 100 undergraduate majors and more than 70 graduate programs, so choosing a field of study can be challenging. But for the Christian young person, choosing a major is more than simply preparing for a job to make money. The qualified and caring BJU faculty is committed to directing students toward one goal, the glorification of Christ in literally everything that encompasses their lives. For more than 80 years, BJU has been helping young people know, love, and serve Jesus Christ as they develop Christ-like character. To find out more about Bob Jones University, call us toll-free at 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to be listening next week for a recent message by the Executive Vice President Emeritus, Dr. Bob Wood, on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.